What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 650 of the Smart Guy Moment Smack Talk Podcast, Hot Tags of the Week. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and joining me, as always, is Callum Wiggins.
Hello there.
No Rob on this episode. He's not feeling well. We wish him well. And I want to specify on this episode way in advance before we get into this, I have been having hell of a month and a hell of a week. I am not feeling well either. I am a mess in a lot of different ways. I apologize in advance if this episode is haphazard, if my energy is weird and all. Callum is thankfully not feeling anywhere near as bad as what I am or anything. But I'm not going to put this on him to be like, you know, to do everything on this podcast. I am going to try to present everything as much as I can. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. If you don't for this episode, I apologize, but I wanted to put that out there way before we got started, just in case anybody thinks that the energy is off or anything. Things are crazy. They're going to get crazier, and we'll fill you in more on that at another point in time and all that. But we want to thank you for joining us for this, and hopefully we'll have a fun time here. I'm pretty sure that we will. We always do. And as we go along and we talk about all these things we're going to run down here, we also always want to know what you have to say. So by all means, drop your thoughts in the comment section below on YouTube. Make sure that you are chatting it up on the Discord channel that we have over there for Smart Guy Moment stuff and Fanboys Anonymous stuff. You could always do that on those channels. But if you are on YouTube, then definitely help us out on the monetary side of things while you're over there. You know, you've got the join button that'll give you access to the different tiers that you could see on the Patreon. It's exactly the same thing. The only difference being that you've got YouTube video content versus audio only streams on Patreon. If you are on the Darkcast tier, we might be recording that after this of our extra alternatives to our King of the Ring fantasy booking. Going to have to see it, how the scheduling works on that one. But at some point, that's going to go up in some fashion. And you got to pick a poison tier and all. Even a buck a month goes a long way. I'm also considering, to be perfectly honest, and letting you guys know full transparency, that the hot tags may move over to the Patreon. It may be on a $2 a month tier going forward. I got to do what I got to do with certain things. And lots of things are changing. We're in a very flux period right now. And if you want to keep us from not doing that, consider joining the dollar a month tier. It's half the price and all. But if you do have the spare change and you want to help us out, there also is the thanks button. There is the Redbubble shop, the TeePublic shop to pick up merchandise and all. And of course, there are non-monetary ways to help us out that I stress as a great means to help us push forward on this YouTube algorithm. Hit the like button on this video. It takes you 2 seconds to do it, and it'll help us get through to where more people can click on these videos and things can work on that front instead, because the more that people share our videos and the website itself, the more popular we can get, the less that we have to do anything like put anything behind a monetary wall. So make sure you are subscribed, ring that notification bell, hit the like button, and drop those thoughts in the comments below. Don't want to be too dour on this, but yeah, things are kind of crazy right now, and I keep mentioning it, so I'm going to keep being transparent to you guys, but we'll explain more at another time. At least for this Hot Tags week, we have some interesting stories to get into that are all across the board. We've got non-WWE topics. We've got AEW shows that are being broadcast today, a new show. We got a really unfortunate situation when it comes to Tiffany Stratton happening. Ivar's injured. Cyberfight wants to do some stuff with WWE. Cats and dogs. You know, it's one of those kind of weeks. So where do you think we should get started, Callum?
I mean, might as well go back the furthest. I think the furthest thing that we're going to probably end up talking about is New Japan Resurgence.
So
I can talk for a while.
Yeah, I have not, of course, watched that. New Japan is, you know, one of those things that I am not too tapped into, but
I'll spoil it as well. I didn't watch it either, but I know the results, so yeah. I can talk about that a little bit. I watched bits and pieces of it. I saw clips online and stuff like that, but I didn't actually end up buying the show and watching all the way through. Apparently it was 5 hours long. I'm glad I kind of avoided it.
Yeesh. 5 hours long, if it's a good thing, it's a good thing, but if it's just kind of a show, then, yeah, sometimes it's a lot.
I've got 1 5-hour show that I'm going to be watching this month, so I don't really need to add another one to it.
Yeah, that's true. Does anything stand out for you as far as the results for that one? Good or bad?
A few bits, pieces. So, I guess the main things were they put the strong openweight tag titles back on the Gorillas of Destiny of Hikaleo and El Phantasmo after they lost it at the last American show to TMDK. They just won it straight back from TMDK, which is weird because it's pretty much an open secret in the people that follow New Japan World that Hikaleo is going to be joining WWE in probably a month or two.
That's what it seemed like it was going to be the case for a while now. And
yeah.
I mean, Hikaleo is obviously not even like as closely confirmed as like Jacob Fatu, for instance, but
well, yeah, we know Jacob Fatu's signed, but
yeah,
I mean, Hikaleo would join and probably be part of the Tongan arm of the bloodline.
Really, it's starting to become the Tongan arm, right? Yeah, and we still don't know what MFT stands for, right?
No, nah, but I'm past the point of caring now. That if I ever cared in the first place. Stephanie Vaquer successfully defended the Strong Women's Championship against Alex Windsor, which apparently was a very good match. It's one of the ones that I actually want to check out when I have the opportunity to go back and look at it, because I've been very impressed with anything that Vaquer's done when I get the chance to watch her, and I look forward to hopefully her being part of Forbidden Door and maybe appearing in some AEW capacity as well at some point. Other big things, Jeff Cobb defending the television title against Lance Archer, so he retained it. Obviously, we'll talk a bit more about Jeff Cobb when it comes to Dynamite. Shingo Takagi successfully defended the Never Openweight Championship against Yuya Uemura. Then the two big matches and the angle in between those two matches. So, as I predicted, Gabe Kidd did defeat Eddie Kingston in a no-rope last man standing match to win the Strong Openweight Championship. Two big things besides obviously the Gabe win, which is great, and Gabe's been doing some great stuff in New Japan. He's one of the most exciting parts of the show, so he gets to hold his first singles title in New Japan, which is a big deal. But then following that, we learned that there was an angle where the Young Bucks and Jack Perry attacked Eddie Kingston afterwards, like in order to build the anarchy in the arena, and then it was revealed afterwards that Eddie Kingston has suffered a leg injury.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So I don't know whether the angle was in preparation, the fact that he went into the match suffering an injury or like in a bit of bother, and so they decided to do the angle because they were going to rule him out of the match anyway, or whether the leg injury has forced him to change tact when it comes to anarchy in the arena. But either way, it's a shame that Eddie Kingston is out injured now. But it's in some way it could be a blessing in disguise. He had like a really strong year, 18 months of doing a lot of stuff, winning 3 titles at once. So now he gets to take a little bit of a break, and then he'll get a big pop when he finally returns and whenever his leg injury heals.
Is there any kind of time frame that you know of when he might be returning?
I don't even know what the injury is besides the fact that it's a leg injury. So,
yeah, so far, that's all I've been able to see is just leg injury. Yeah, I figured maybe there was some other information that I'm unaware of.
No, I haven't seen anything. I'm sure something will be revealed at some point, or he'll let us know when his likely timetable of return is. And then in the main event, John Moxley successfully defended the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against Shota Umino. By all accounts, there's kind of like a mixed response to this one. Apparently, it wasn't as special as they expected it to be, considering this student against teacher angle they were going into this with, and Moxley retained, as most people would have expected, but... by some people's names, I heard it was very good. Other people saying that it was good, but not at the level that they were hoping for from this match. So again, I haven't seen it myself, so I can't judge it either way. But that's kind of the reaction we got, and then that leads into what we've kind of got lined up already for Dominion, which is taking place on June 9th. So a little bit away, but they've already outlined how many matches? 5 matches. Including, and then a 6th one will be the Best of the Super Juniors final. Best of the Super Juniors tournament is going on right now, so we don't know who those 2 finalists are going to be. But that'll be one of the matches. And then the other 5 that have been announced are not very exciting.
That a quick glance to me. As an outsider, so you know, my opinion doesn't hold as much weight, and it doesn't look like anything that would make me go, oh shit, let me watch this. Yeah.
So we got Yuya Uemura versus Great O'Khan for the King of the Ring King of the Ring. I'm getting that confused. King of Pro Wrestling Championship. Apparently, this is going to, I think they're still doing the voting for what this match stipulation is going to be, but one of the things that's been proposed has been some kind of like catch-as-can style, like mat wrestling match, like just kind of like more of like amateur wrestling style, because apparently that's like Umura's background, but it's just a rematch from when Great Okan lost the title to Umura like a month or so back, so they're just going to do the rematch here, and you know, it's not interesting because neither of these two are doing anything particularly interesting right now. Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii for the television championship. You know, it's a Tomohiro Ishii match and Jeff Cobb's great, so I'm sure this will be a really good match. But again, in the same way that Shingo Takagi versus Hinare will be a really good match because these two beat the shit out of each other whenever they fight each other. So these two are going to be like, you know, your typical strong style, like beat each other up wrestling matches that New Japan will throw on. And I'm sure they'll both be good, but then there's nothing really like, oh, what's new or interesting about this? It's like, okay, these are the same matches that I was seeing 2 or 3 years ago between these guys. And then we have a Fatal 4-Way Tornado Elimination Tag Team match for both the IWGP Tag Championships and the Strongweight Championship, which I believe is now the third time that both these titles have been on the line in the same match. So they should probably go ahead and, you know, unify them at some point, but they don't seem to be in too much of a hurry. But it's Kenta and Chase Owens versus El Fantasma and Hikaleo versus Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi versus TMDK's Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste. So it's basically the four teams that have held these titles most recently all fighting each other to see who wins both titles. And I couldn't care less because they they don't do anything with this tag team division. It sucks. And then, speaking of sucks, the world title match is John Moxley versus Evil. Because, you know, we have to put Evil in the main event of the show like that. So what I'm anticipating, again, this is still like a good month out, but based on what we found out on Dynamite, which is that on Double or Nothing, John Moxley is going to face Konosuke Takeshita in a IWGP World Championship Eliminator match. What I'm hoping will happen, I'm not saying I'm expecting it, but what I'm hoping will happen is that Takeshita beats Moxley at Double or Nothing, and then it's determined that their title match, if it was to take place, would take place at Forbidden Door. So Moxley can fight Evil, defend the title against Evil successfully, and then it's Moxley and Takeshita 2 for the IWGP Championship at Forbidden Door, which I'm sure will make a lot of people very unhappy because it's an AEW guy versus a guy who works between AEW and DDT. So for the New Japan title. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But John Moxley vs. Evil is not a marquee. It's very much far removed from 6 years ago at Dominion when it was Okada versus Kenny Omega in a 2 out of 3 falls match that went 70 minutes long for the title.
It is kind of interesting that they're going with Takeshita and Moxley in an eliminator match at Double or Nothing rather than just going straight to putting the title on the line.
I think it's largely due to the fact that, like, I guess it's a case of, they already did the thing with Hobbs, which is unusual for New Japan anyway, to allow that sort of match to take place on a television show as opposed to on just any New Japan show. So, and also they've already announced that Moxley's defending a title at the next show. So I don't think they want to make sure that Moxley's there for Dominion. So they don't want, so at least in a kayfabe sense, they don't want to present the idea that Takeshita is going to win the title and then they completely have to change the main event of their second biggest show of the year.
Or spoil that Takeshita is just flat out not going to win and make it obvious that it's like, all right, well, there's no point in having Moxley versus Takeshita for nothing if he's just going to beat him because he needs to have that belt for there.
By making it a non-title match or a title eliminated match, they've actually opened the door for Takeshita to win that match, which he might not have been able to do if it was a world title match.
And so I mean, to be fair, like a, you know, an eliminator match, it's not like it's meaningless. It is something that Ken sets up some pretty interesting things in the future. So it's not like it's like the way that WWE tends to do once in a while, where thankfully it's not like a regular thing, but when WWE will have like I'm blanking on the name, the names that were involved in this, but I remember there was like some pay-per-view a couple years ago where it was like the United States title or something was on the line. It seemed like it was like obviously on the line, and they ended up just making it like a non-title match for no reason. And it was just sort of like, well, it's pay-per-view. Why is it a non-title match? And yeah, they could have just done that with this, but having it be, you know, set up, Takeshita can get a title match means a lot more than, oh, it's a grudge match and the belt's not on the line, but these two are going to fight and we can have either one win, you know?
Yeah, and then also we need to just entertain the very real possibility that Evil wins the title at Dominion. I don't think it will happen, but, you know, the House of Torture is a big deal. Obviously, everyone that I see talk about it hates it, but apparently it is over domestically. Mm-hmm. So it's not. And also, the last time, well, not the last time, but the first time we had Forbidden Door going into it, Okada was the champion going into Dominion, and they changed it to Jay Wyatt before Dominion. So it's not like they have. Historically, they have sometimes changed the title from the more over guy, let's say, or the more popular guy to a lesser guy at Dominion beforehand. But in this instance, at the very least, by all accounts, we know that Tony Khan is at least playing some kind of role in the booking or direction of the championship because Moxley's holding it. So if he has a say, I'm pretty sure he would not like Evil to win the title.
Probably not. But then if Evil is such a big act over there, I mean, Moxley can do something else at Forbidden Door. They could have a rematch. It could be, you know, maybe Takeshita is involved, maybe not.
Well, I just don't know whether Tony Khan wants to book him in a book Evil in a singles match.
Yeah,
on the show or some kind of world title match. When I think in his world, he would say, "Hey, why don't we do Moxley and Takeshita again for the title if we decide to have Takeshita win, or let's do Moxley versus probably not Okada, obviously, because Okada's not going back to New Japan super soon. But hey, let's do the Moxley Naito rematch at Forbidden Door. Let's do Moxley versus Shingo or something like that instead." But there are many different options that are more intriguing than having Evil doing anything as the world champion. But that's like strange things that happened.
Sticking on the AEW front, kind of bouncing around some of these ideas, real quick mention of this. They have a new show coming out. I think it's today, actually, on YouTube. It might have even came out at this point. I don't know for sure. AEW Match and a Meal. Mm-hmm. Doesn't strike me as the type of show that I would necessarily go out of my way to watch, but you know, I'm down for different types of content. And
I don't see how it's any different from Table for Free was.
So is that what their plan is for? Oh, so they did upload this 2 hours ago from when we're recording this. Actually, the quick rundown that I had seen before seems like it might be a little bit different than what the actual show is. I had read a quick thing that sounded like it was, there was a show that was out, I'm blanking on the name of that too, on like some kind of like, it was like the AMC channel or something years ago, where they would just kind of have like interstitial bumper segments that they would be like making food, and it was like they ran like a movie. And all, it kind of gave me vibe of that a little bit more. But now that I'm seeing that this is uploaded and it does have a little bit more of a Table for Three kind of vibe, maybe I would check that out. RJ City and Renee Paquette are hosting that. The title for this episode, at the very least, is called Eddie Kingston on Crying, Barbecue, and Punchable Faces. If it's more of a Table for Three and people are talking and they're just sort of eating whatever like that, it's a 20-something minute thing. I'd be down to watch that. I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to bookmark this, depending on what they're eating, at the very least, too. Looks like some kind of tacos or fajitas or something.
I mean, I'm a big fan of anything that, like, RJ City and Renee Paquette are involved in. So I'm down to seeing them having, like, another show. And it's just a YouTube thing, so just be, if you have a bit spare time, check it out. I always check out AEW pretty regularly. Like, depending on who the guest is, I'll tune in to check that out. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun.
I'm not the biggest fan of AEW, but I'm always willing to give something another shot. And I'm gonna have to watch this at another point and maybe talk about it like next week, get my thoughts about something. But that's cool. I like when they experiment with some different ideas. I like even when they did like those WWE Network shows where it was like the SmackDown Kitchen or whatever it was called. And yeah, I like when you get to see these personalities have some more fun outside of the ring. So that's cool. And it's been a long time since we've seen a table for three. I don't know why they didn't bother to do anything this year. They like usually record a bunch around WrestleMania time and nothing has come out about any of that. So then again, that's what happens when you go switch over to Peacock, I guess. You just stop making content. But other AEW stories, other things going on that front. The AEW Path to All In series. You give me a heads up about this. I wasn't aware of that prior to when we started recording the hot tags. But the game plan being that they're going to have a series of shows that are all in the Texas region, just sort of like being a central hub for a little bit.
I mean, it's beyond just Arlington being the central hub. It's going to be just all in one stadium. So it's all taking place in
Esports Stadium, apparently.
Yeah,
the Esports. I don't know.
Esports. It is Esports, yeah. As in, like, the actual genre of Esports.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's an Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas, and it's going to host Collision from July the 20th all the way to August 17th. And then also Death Before Dishonor, which takes place on July 26th. Also going to have some Ring of Honor tapings being taken place there. Also, there's going to be a Battle of the Belt show that happens there following one of the collisions. So yeah, it's interesting. They're going for an approach similar to... So, I mean, sometimes they've wrestling promotions, they take some kind of like residency approach or say like, okay, we're going to make all our shows here in this area. I mean, AEW famously is very rigid when it comes to where certain pay-per-views are held, like Double or Nothing always takes place in Las Vegas, and All Out happens in Chicago, and All In is now a London thing. So, but yeah, I think it's an interesting approach to take, especially because Collision doesn't have the biggest attendances recently. Outside of the Vancouver show, which did really well, all the others, most of the Collision shows, they don't have very good ticket sales. So putting them in one stadium, I believe it's not like a big arena. It's about, in terms of the esports thing, it's set up for about like 2,500 people. Realistically, with a wrestling ring in the middle of it, you're probably more like looking somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 at most. So they're not going to be the most like jam-packed shows in terms of attendances, and it's obviously hard to continually get people to come in from the same crowd every single week because people won't be able to pay tickets like every single week they're there. So you'll have to try and get a slightly different audience each time. But I think the setup could be interesting depending on, because essentially they're going to be there for a month or so. Yeah. So they can make that arena their home pretty much for a month, which means they can do whatever they want with it in terms of layout and structure of it, like create a bit of a distinct feel to it. So I'm interested to see what they do. I think it could be an interesting approach. It might be saying that a long-term approach. I mean, we don't know what kind of deal they've got from Arlington for this. Mm-hmm. I presume they've paid AEW a decent amount for it, but obviously we don't know the actual figures. I don't think it's like AEW have gone to Arlington and said, please, let us have all our shows in the stadium, please. But no, they've... So yeah, if the deal was good and they have an interesting vibe to these shows, I think it could be something that they pursue long-term.
It'd be interesting. I'm not finding any information quite yet about the tickets, especially because, I mean, I'm not going. I mean, I'm not going to have the money and the time and all to fly out to Texas and all. But it'd be interesting to see if they have any package deals going on. I don't see anything listed on AEW's website about their announcement for this or the AEW Insider thing or ETIX or anything that specifies like a group package deal, but they probably should look into doing something where it would be like, all right, if you buy tickets to every one of these shows that you can get access to, you know, all the episodes Collision and all the, you know, this and that, for that whole month. And maybe like, you know, slightly discounted price, or maybe you get some other kind of thing to go with the, you know, commemorative something or other at the end of it, or, you know, whatever. But the idea of doing something like this is interesting in a lot of ways. First off, being this doesn't happen all that often in wrestling. I mean, we get like live tours where it'll be like, all right, WWE is going over to Europe for a little bit, and we're going to have like a few shows in this area, or, you know, WrestleMania week. We have a lot of things happening around one area for 1 week, but very rarely is it like a month worth of shows all happening in the same arena. So with the PN Collision and Ring of Honor, they were actually not even promoting on these things that I'm reading right now, the Battle of the Belts thing. That's not even on the graphic or anything.
It's in the press release, but it's not actually just on the, they haven't listed what show Battle of the Belts is going to take place on.
Yeah. I guess in their mind, they're like, well, it's a supplemental thing, so we don't need to commit to that necessarily yet.
Because like, they are going to do other Ring of Honor shows on there as well, and tapings for Ring of Honor from there as well, but they haven't announced what dates those are taking place.
Yeah, Death Before Dishonor is happening July 26th. So, you know, heads up for that for anybody that's interested in this area. If you have plans to, you know, you want to attend these kind of shows and stuff, you know, take advantage of it as much as you can. You might be able to get some good action out of that and kind of can just continue to see a bunch in that area. AEW hasn't been having the best attendance for live events. So you brought it up, like, how often can you keep the same people coming back? It might be some people that are interested in going to the first show, and then they might, I'll skip August 10th or something. Or it might end up being a packed house the entire time. Look at Full Sail. Yeah. That's an interesting idea. And, that's not even the only things that are going on AEW related this week. So, Dynamite's not something that I had a chance to check out, to be perfectly honest. I've just been, like I said, things have been crazy. So, I haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet. I've been reading what happened, and I saw a few just clips and stuff. I'm going to try later on today to find the time to actually, you know, kind of speed through that. I don't think I missed some of these. Like, I don't think I need to have seen Tony Storm against Harley Cameron or Hook against Sebastian Wolf or anything, but I know the big story of the replacement of Eddie Kingston, Darby Allin. Surprised he's actually able to return to the ring.
Yeah, I think he's probably surprised about it as well. But yeah, he came out at the end of the, so they did the Okada versus Dax Harwood match to round off the show. Okada won, naturally. And then they did a beatdown angle with all the other guys. They'd already announced earlier that Eddie Kingston would be unavailable due to his injury. And so then Darby Allin's music plays, and I kind of, like, when the music played, I was like, no, that, who's that? It's because my mind just couldn't compute that it was Darby Allin, because he both, like, broke his ankle recently and got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
So... so it can't be Darby Allin. And then Darby Allin does come out, and he's hitting people with skateboards, and he's doing this crazy stuff. I mean, this is, I mean, talk about a guy who's kind of low key Mr. AEW in a way. It's, I don't know if AEW's had more of a kind of going from nothing to something, as in terms of like a guy who was kind of, you know, vaguely known on the independent circuit, then to being like a household name to fans of AEW, like Darby Allin has. So he's a perfect, and Anarchy in the Arena, that's a perfect fit for a guy like Darby.
A guy who, like Darby, who is like, let me make sure I have a third injury going on.
Well, let me put it this way. I think that there's going to be like a barbed wire steel cage match on the show as well with Copeland and Malakai Black. So I imagine that Darby's going to try and jump off the top of that when it's still hanging from the ceiling,
with barbed wire wrapped around himself into a pit of barbed wire that's set on fire.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, I wouldn't expect anything else at this point with Darby Allin. Like, this guy is absolutely insane. And I hope that things work out well with all that. It's very nerve-wracking every time Darby Allin is in this kind of situation to always just be like, do you really want to push this dude? Like, I, You know, I mean, Mick Foley is one of my absolute favorites of all time, and I fully agree with all the sentiment when people are like, people should have told him to stop, and people should tell Debbie Allen to stop and all. So, it's going to be interesting, at least. And Darby Allin was somebody, we had talked a little bit about this. Maybe it was actually off air. I don't remember for sure if we talked about it on air, but this idea of what if the Team AEW and Team Elite concept split the whole roster, like NWO and WCW style. I eventually wrote up an article about it. Find out over any wrestling news that anybody's interested. And Darby Allin was one of the guys that I was like, oh, well, he's a pretty obvious one. Like, he would clearly be in Team AEW. There's no way he would just join Team Elite. That was way before this switch over with Eddie Kingston had happened, and I'm glad to see that I was totally right. And Darby Allin is one of the better names that they could have possibly put in there for this. So this is, it's at least a lateral move, if not a step up, in my mind. Sucks for Eddie Kingston, but I'm glad they were able to replace him with somebody who makes a lot of sense and is actually going to be like a really good standout person in that match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, as I look forward to that main event, it should be exciting. Actually, technically, by at least AEW's announcement, it's one of a three-part main event for Double or Nothing.
They're following the WWE methodology.
Yeah, and it sucks that everywhere that someone does it, it's like, just say what your main event is.
What do you think is going to end up being the main event? Do you think it's Anarchy in the Arena, or do you think it's going to end up being Swerve and Cage?
I think it has to be Anarchy in the Arena. I think that'll be the biggest reaction to anything. I don't, and also it's probably the one that has the most likely potential to have like an angle at the end of it to add some interest to what happens on the next episode of Dynamite.
Meanwhile, a whole bunch of people are screaming out, going, why is it in Willow and Mercedes?
Well, they're the third part of the triple main event. Which sucks for your actual women's championship.
And for, like, Copeland and Malakai Black, and for Roderick Strong and Will Ospreay, and Moxley and Takeshita, and, I mean, I don't, nobody would have expected Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy to be the main event, but, yeah, but especially true when it comes to Swerve and Christian, if they end up being bumped off of that, but... Yeah, I mean, this card's shaping up to be pretty well. It's something we'll talk about more next week, if we're able to, depending on my fucking wisdom teeth and stuff. But, you know, anything else on the Dynamite front you want to call attention to?
I'd say, first of all, I thought it was like a decent show. Not like, again, super amazing, but did its job for the most part. Opener was good. They basically decided to prelude to the Anarchy in the Arena by having Danielson come out to save Moxley, who'd gotten jumped during his entrance, and then they just played Danielson's theme for about 2 or 3 minutes while they were fighting each other over around ringside. So get to see more of that Anarchy in the Arena. The Bucks beat the Bucks beat Matt Sydal and Christopher Daniels, and then the Bucks fired Christopher Daniels. So going with that angle as well. So now they're now doing the You're Fired stuff as well. So they're going very full Miss McMahon approach. It's obviously not in many sentiments, but
I hope not.
Hook and Shibata got in each other's face a little bit because they both want to take on Jericho again for the FTW title. But then Samoa Joe backstage got in Hook's face and said, "What the hell's going on with Hook? Why has he gone soft? Why has he kind of lost his way after our match? I thought that you'd be the next big thing, but now you're just screwing around with Jericho." So there seems to be now this triumvirate being formed, like this uneasy triumvirate being formed between Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata, which could be interesting. Then we had they did some more build for the Strickland and Christian match by having Strickland get attacked again, and they Nick Wayne smashed a photo frame containing a photo of like Swerve and his kid in the like smearing it with blood and stuff like that. I think it was that's a means of counteracting Swerve doing that to Nick Wayne a few months ago in his garage like training center thing.
Payback's a bitch.
Yep. Not much to re-say on the Tony Storm front. The only other big thing that really happened was during the contract signing between Willow and Mercedes. which is the first time Mercedes has done anything physical since her first, her kind of debut, was she slapped Willow across the face after she made some sort of comment about, she basically said something on the lines of, I'm planning on walking out. Well, last time we fought each other, I walked out of the show a champion and you couldn't walk out at all. And then Mercedes obviously didn't like that, slapped her across the face and then tried to hit her with the title. Willow ducked it and then hit the powerbomb through the table and honestly got the biggest reaction of anything on the show. Was Mercedes being put through the table, which says to me that despite everything they're doing, and we've both been critical of it, how poorly we think the Mercedes thing has been handled. It's not, I would say it's been working, it's working, but the crowd really wants to see Willow beat the shit out of Mercedes. So, you know, it might not be like she's the big, like, super babyface star that maybe they were intending when she first started, but she's a detestable heel now, and the crowd is super behind Willow. And so that means that I'm pretty sure that match will go really well.
She just works better as a heel.
She knows that. I think she knows that. She knows that she has to be a heel. So they've basically been subtly turning her heel throughout this entire process. And now it's fully established that, yeah, everyone's going to be super behind Willow and Mercedes is going to lean heavily into the heel stuff.
Hopefully so. I do fully expect her to win the title and everything. But again, we'll talk more about that when we get into our predictions and all. I mean, it's shaping up to be...
I'm liking the card so far. Yeah, I'm liking the card so far. I think it doesn't have the same level of like bombasticness as some of the previous two. I mean, the previous two pay-per-views have been two of, at least from my perspective, two of the best pay-per-views AEW's ever done. So it's hard to follow that. I think that there's certainly enough on this card to get me interested. In a barbed wire steel cage and anarchy in the arena, get to see Mercedes wrestle for the first time, Will Ospreay against Roderick Strong. There's going to be a lot to enjoy at this one.
Before we switch fully over to WWE, here's another story happening this week of, you called this attention to me as well, the president of CyberFight with Noah wanting to, quote, strengthen their relationship with WWE. And, of course, we don't know the ins and outs of what that means, but the concept of having some kind of crossover work between those companies could mean quite a bit.
Yeah, so essentially there's been this new there's a new president that's been put into CyberFight called Yasuaki Okamoto, and essentially gave out a presentation about what's like their plan is or what their vision is for CyberFight in general, which is pro wrestling Noah, but it also is the conglomerate that also is the parent company of Tokyo Joshi Pro and DDT Pro Wrestling as well. So they're some of the biggest promotions, like the second biggest women's promotion, and then kind of probably the third and maybe fourth or fifth biggest men's promotions as well. So yeah, this is a big deal if part of their thing is they want to form a stronger relationship with WWE. We know how New Japan have a partnership with AEW, and obviously by extension, Stardom also has a partnership with AEW now. So, seemingly the other side of the Japanese, like some of the other big companies in Japan are looking to see if they can form a more close relationship with WWE to counteract that. And they have done things in the past because, I mean, just last year they had Shinsuke Nakamura versus Keiji Muto in Noah. So, they have talked about things beforehand and they have done some talent changes as well. So yeah, I don't think it's... It certainly isn't out of the question. I always get a little bit, I don't know, it's a different era, as they are so keen to tell us with WWE, but I always get a bit crazy when it comes to WWE doing anything with Noah promotion, because usually, or at least in the past, whenever they want to do stuff with a new promotion, it means that they want to buy a new promotion and set up a WWE arm in whatever country that's taking place. Mm-hmm. Did it with the UK, absolutely go to the UK independent scene, and then to a point where it's barely recovered now. Thanks largely to like RevPro and stuff. But then they also, they've seen about whether they've tried wanting to purchase certain parts of like Japanese promotions before and set up like either an NXT Japan or a WWE Japan there. Similar things with like Mexico as well. Like they did things like buy Evolve and then Evolve died without them doing anything with it. And so yeah, as I say, I approach it with like a degree of caution because fundamentally WWE's there to serve its own interests for the most part, or at least that was the previous strategy. Maybe they are more open to a more symbiotic relationship now. But yeah, I can't say I blame like Cyberfight for wanting to do that, because how else are they going to try and boost up their own reputation in Japan when it's a landscape that's dominated primarily by New Japan Pro Wrestling, and then you've still got All Japan Pro Wrestling in the middle of that as well. So yeah, it's understandable. Proceed with a degree of caution.
I mean, the idea of NXT Japan is always potentially lingering, and maybe this is their idea of like heading in that direction or something, or maybe it's something just as simple as they want to work together and they want to do some crossover stuff. You know, there's been plenty of times in the past as well. You go back decades and decades of like a quick little promotion, kind of back and forth where, you know, previous Royal Rumbles or something, you get some people thrown in there, or you get like, even recently with the TNA stuff, like the, you know, people popping up in the Royal Rumble, or a little angle with some kind of, I don't remember if it was like CMLL or whatever, but that they had done like, you know, some more on the Mexican pro wrestling side of things, popping up on Monday Night Raw for a few months or so. We're going to have to see where this leads, but, you know, the idea of wanting to work with WWE at least points in the direction that they want to do some crossover stuff. And the more that they do things like send Nakamura over or bring Keiji Muto over for like a WWE Hall of Fame induction or whatever, the more that we can see some kind of a partnership brewing. So be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple months or so. And on that front, let's talk about some WWE stuff that's happening. Monday Night Raw was very much on the King and Queen of the Ring side of it as well, as we've been getting the past few weeks, and not too much crazy going on there. I will say I was a little bit surprised Jey Uso had beaten Ilya Dragunov, and it changed my mind about where this tournament's going. And now I'm starting to think that it might be Jey Uso against Tama Tonga in the finals, but we're going to have to see what happens on SmackDown tonight too.
And what, of course, an awful match.
Yeah, it's not my preferred setup, because I don't want Tama Tonga to be the King of the Ring, and I don't think main event Jey Uso needs to be King of the Ring either. I think Gunther is the one that makes the most sense. So we'll see what happens with Tama Tonga and all, but it still could be Gunther versus Randy Orton or something. The thing going on with tonight's SmackDown that's like King and Queen of the Ring related, that's like the big story happening right now, is this situation with Tiffany Stratton. Now, she had been announced prior with the way that the bracket was turning out. It was going to be Tiffany Stratton versus Bianca Belair tonight. A few other matches going down as well. Jade Cargill versus Nia Jax. We got LA Knight versus Tama Tonga. Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes. I think that there's supposed to be like a contract signing or something with Logan Paul and Cody Rhodes. But the setup of that might be changing a little bit, or it might not, depending on some other reports that are happening now. The long and short of this, for anybody that's missed out on the big story for Tiffany Stratton, she posted on her Instagram a story that was a clip of her hitting Jade from one of the tag team matches that they had. And the audio that she played over it was this kind of meme audio from some unrelated thing. It's not Tiffany Stratton saying it. I know some people were like, you know, oh, she said that in there, whatever, and they just got misconstrued. It's a clip from some other show or some meme or something where I think actually it might be a rap battle, now that I'm remembering correctly, where somebody just says black bitch. So in the context of this, in any context of it, this is not good. And this was a massive, blissfully ignorant, you would hope, posting. And that there, you know, I would assume, you know, benefit of the doubt, that there wasn't any malicious intent when it comes to this. But it's a very tone-deaf thing to post, because there is no way that anybody could take that other than, yeah, that's racially insensitive if not flat out racist. And a lot of people calling for Tiffany Stratton to be outright fired. It seems like at least 22 hours ago, WWE still has the Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton match listed for that. Although if you go to the preview page of this, that's one of the ones that they didn't really call as much attention to. It's still listed on there. Some reports are saying that there's not heat on Tiffany Stratton. Other ones saying that if it wasn't for the fact that they wanted to push her, that she would have been fired already. It's not good. And I would hope that everybody kind of had like a discussion about this. She's kind of realized how much of a mistake this was. Hopefully she clarifies that like she didn't mean anything by it. And, you know, people settle on all those things. But this could be the difference maker of Tiffany Stratton either winning a match tonight or being taken out of the match tonight. She could have been Queen of the Ring. Maybe she might not be anymore. We don't really know until at least what plays out tonight goes down. But it's not a good situation. How do you feel about this?
It's just like a dumb thing done by, you know, as I say, someone who is very much like super online, does a lot of the TikTok stuff, and just thought, oh, this would just be funny. I do all this stuff all the time anyway. I'm just going to do this one. It's like this viral clip or meme or soundbite that's around there, so I'll just do it for this. But it's like just a stupid tone deaf thing. I say I do not think that Tiffany Stratton is anyway like discriminatory or like racist or anything like that. It's just, you know, she's a bit dumb and she did a dumb thing sometimes, and yes, I think she'll understand now that it was a dumb thing to do. We'll think hopefully a bit more clearly about what she posts online moving forward. And yeah, I'd say it doesn't really help with the whole, like, everyone, all the speculation going around that she's, like, a Trump supporter and all that stuff probably doesn't help the situation. But yeah, I imagine that there's, like, at least half the people in that company are Trump supporters, so it doesn't really... So I don't think she's, like, alone in that regard. But yeah, we'll see what the... If there will be any repercussions by the council, like, by... what PW Insider reported, saying that there's no heat on her off the back of this, and so there's some kind of... So I doubt that it's going to influence the result of what was to happen tonight. If she loses, then she was probably always going to lose. If she wins, then obviously we know at that point there's no kind of hard feelings on her in that regard. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. I assume that she was going to lose anyway, so it hasn't really changed my mind in that front.
Depending on how this bracket plays out, I mean, I'm still not sure, because they could go in a couple different ways and I could be like, okay, that makes sense then. Like, part of me thinks that it's just going to be Jade against Io in the finals, and whether that would have been Jade against Bianca over on the SmackDown side of things, or if it would have been Jade against Tiffany, or if Tiffany was supposed to beat Bianca tonight and then Tiffany against Bianca leads into Tiffany against Jade, or I mean, Nia Jax could be Jade. And it could be Bianca against Nia, for all we know. There's a lot of different ways it could go down. So people are going to take whatever happens tonight and they're going to run with that as proof of one thing or another. But like you said, maybe she was planned to win. Maybe she's planned to lose. Might have no bearing on it whatsoever. It's just not a good look for, you know, you shouldn't put stuff out there. And I am very much in the opinion that people make mistakes and that there are plenty instances from every single type of person and every type of situation where you can make some kind of misjudgment of a joke, or you can put something out there that you don't even realize could be offensive, and that you should be given a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that maybe you weren't going for the jugular for every single thing that you do. And I hope that that's the case. We don't personally know what's happening behind the scenes, but I would assume that that's probably what went on. She thought it'd be funny. She didn't realize that it could be offensive. And then she took it down once she realized that it was, and probably had a stern talking to, probably is going to maybe get some kind of like sensitivity training thing, or, you know, probably know maybe Bianca Belair is going to give her a stiff shot tonight and just be like, there you go. That's your payment.
if I was to, again, I don't know these people personally, but if I was to make a prediction, I imagine that a lot of people online are way more annoyed about this than either Jade Cargill or Bianca Belair is.
Probably. as a general rule of thumb, people being more upset online than people involved is probably the case. But you never know. We'll have to see if anything comes out of this. It seems like nothing all that interesting is coming out of this whole Twitch stream thing that I have been paying attention to this QR code thing, to be perfectly honest. I stopped looking into it a long time ago. I am interested to see where they go with this Wyatt Family new resurgence concept that may or may not involve all these different types of people. It seems like Eric Rowan was doing some kind of medical testing at the Performance Center this past week to prep him for returning. A lot of people talking about Alexa Bliss. You know, there's the whole Uncle Howdy element of this. There's Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy and Nikki Cross. I personally think that a lot of that might just be hogwash, and that hogwash. I'm going hogwash. I threw that word out there. Wow, that's stupid. That it could just be people going, what are the potentially spooky characters that we can throw out there? And it might end up being nothing involving any of them, but it could very well be. But I am not dedicating all this time to a bunch of little tiny teases that probably aren't going to matter much, because whenever they pull the trigger on this, it's just going to be, okay, that's what we need to know going forward. But I know that the little bit of what I've heard from people about what this Twitch stream thing was largely was, wow, that was a waste of time.
Yes, from what I gathered from it is, like, it was an hour long pretty much takeover of the stream, which is primarily just, I think, like, when I just did a quick scan, because people put the whole thing on X now. It's now X.com. Have you seen that? It's
no longer Twitter.com. Did they, like, officially switch over?
Yeah, it's officially X.com now.
What a waste.
So, yeah. But, I went on to Twitter, and so I'm still going to call it that. Cause
it's going to be Twitter forever.
Yeah, fuck you. That someone put the whole thing up, and then literally, like, the first 10 minutes of it is pretty much, it's like, just a chair on the screen, and then a therapist sits on the chair, and then they're talking to someone, but we don't see who they're talking to, and then there's, like, a few, like, cuts away and stuff like that, and then it ends with like the therapist, like, going away, and then there's, like, a newspaper clipping which says that this person, I can't remember what the name of the person was, but the idea was that, like, she went missing and her name was an anagram of Uncle Howdy. So, you know, just a load of, like, bullshit time filler. Just get on with it. Like, if you're going to do it, just fucking do it. Why are we holding out so long? Like, how, apparently they've re-signed Eric Rowan, and we know there are people that are previously part of the Wyatt Family on the roster. You've got Nikki Cross, and maybe Alexa Bliss is coming back, and we know that they've had Bo Dallas employed for over a year now. So, like, just fucking get on with it. Why do we have to have all of these teases and build up and stuff? So just re-debut him. You must have a plan of what you're going to do with him. If you don't, then you've had a year and a half to prepare for it. Well, I say you've had a year and a half. You've had like, I don't know, nearly a year since Bray Wyatt's unfortunate passing to decide what you were going to do. Like, surely they must have an idea now, if they're devoting this much time to all these QR codes and little teases. Or maybe these QR code teases are just a blockade for, like, oh, we don't have a fucking clue what we're doing. Let's just do spooky bullshit until we decide what we're going to do with him.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that to me, at least.
I imagine that essentially this will be, because we know that Judgment Day is seemingly breaking up soon, because Damian Priest is getting more and more babyface, and he's probably going to feud with Balor at some point soon. And then Dominic's seemingly going off with Liv Morgan, and so that's going to be the breakup of him and Rhea, and who cares what Teddy McDonough does. And then, and so they need another, like, big faction, because they've got, on the SmackDown side, they've got the Bloodline 2.0, so they need something on Raw to replace the Judgment Day, and so I imagine that's going to be whatever this Wyatt 6 is, even if that's, as long as that's still the plan, because everyone seems to just be assuming they're going to do the Wyatt 6 thing based on the fact that they were apparently going to do the Wyatt 6 thing when Bray Wyatt was still around, which they never got around to doing, and they've really went beyond just, like, initial teases. So I don't think anyone really knows what they're planning to do with Uncle Howdy.
it doesn't at least strike me as like a very clear picture of what they would do. And maybe they do have a plan and it's just like, you know, we just don't know. But it doesn't, you know, come across to me as like, hey, look forward for these next couple of story elements to happen. And then we're going to, like, I don't even know which brand they would bother to put them on. Like, is this just going to be the next feud for Cody? Or is this going to be a feud for the Intercontinental Championship? Or is this going to be a feud for Damian Priest, like you mentioned? Or is it like, you know, be all sorts of different things. But I'm not interested in spending an hour of my time to watch a couple clips of a therapy session that doesn't even fully tease anything. That's just the same shit we had seen before with Wyatt. And I know a lot of people are going to take this as like a very mean spirited thing to say, but I still maintain my opinion about what that was in the past. I still think that Bray Wyatt's character from the very start had a lot of potential and went nowhere over and over and over again. So if they still have never learned any of those lessons and their approach is just do a bunch of teasers, it doesn't need to lead anywhere. If it leads somewhere and you decide to pivot, you just say, well, you know, it is what it is, put out another cryptic thing and never actually do anything, then it's just edging. And that's an awful way to equate it, but it's true. I'm not interested in watching that happen for like the fifth incarnation, especially without even Bray Wyatt involved. So we're going to have to see when things actually happen with that. But really quickly, they put out the footage of Liv Morgan's arrest from a while back. It's not really all that interesting. If you missed it, you're not really missing anything. I did like the comments that people put out there that they were like, Dom is a bad influence. I thought that was pretty funny. SmackDown stuff, Raw stuff out of the way. I think there's nothing else for us to talk about on that front. And then it's just NXT left to talk about. So we actually even know what's happening for next week's NXT. So we will talk about spoilers in a moment or so. They did a bunch of things on this episode that pushed a few stories forward. The Izzy Dame and Kiana James tag team is over. Kiana James is basically just like, well, I'm on Raw now, so adios. Noam Dar claimed to have been attacked by somebody. They're doing a, you know, kind of self-referential angle of how everybody keeps getting attacked in NXT, but that led to a switch over where it was Oro Mensah going up against Javon Evans. Javon Evans won that match, so I get some fantasy league points. That's cool. And apparently Ivar is injured. He's going through some kind of spinal fusion or so, and, you know, wish him the best. That's obviously awful. Terrible to hear that kind of thing, but he's been replaced by Gallus at the end of this, attacking Ivar and Josh Briggs and Wesley to set up something that we'll get into with the spoilers. OTM had a whole thing with Idris Enafe and Malik Blade. We'll talk about this Lola Vice situation going on in a minute, too. Tony D'Angelo won the Heritage Cup over or from Charlie Dempsey. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I never really liked the Heritage Cup as it is, but I wanted Charlie Dempsey to win that for a long, long time. He finally wins it. He does fuck all with it. And now it's Tony D'Angelo being the representative of the Heritage Cup. It's not my thing. What do you think?
It doesn't really affect me because I'm not going to watch either way. But, you know, Tony D'Angelo's like seems to be one of the bright sparks in terms of like a homegrown guy from the performance center who basically done no wrestling prior to joining WWE coming in. So I think it's probably about time that he won a singles title. It's technically a trophy, but it's still like, I guess, considered on a similar level to a singles title. So I'm totally fine with doing. I haven't been super impressed with anything I've really seen Charlie Dempsey. It's one of those cases where I think people know who his father is and so assume that he's really good. Whereas I think that if people just watched him and just treated him separately, they'd say, he's fine, but there's nothing really to him. I think the apple's kind of fallen quite far from the tree in that case.
He's not at William Regal level right now, yeah.
So he's still got plenty of time to develop. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's his finished arc. Well, right now, I think that right now, I'd say that just based on what I've seen from both of them, I think Tony D'Angelo's further ahead in his development than Dempsey is.
At least for when it comes to like character work and stuff. Like, I'll give them that, and I understand I'd say
in Ring.
Really?
I think that Dempsey is doing too much like old school William Regal stuff, and he's not really finding his own identity. Whereas D'Angelo basically started from nothing, and so he's had to develop his own kind of style. And I think that he feels more comfortable in his own skin, which translates it's better performances.
A lot of little other things to talk about. Go back and read the results if you guys want, like the match by match, segment by segment breakdown. But the other big takeaways we had, continued on thing with Rich Holland and Riley Osborne being a part of this whole. Holland wants to be part of Chase U, sort of, and he gets upset about things when they lose their match and all, but then he forgives Riley Osborne, so that's just sort of, we're heading in a direction here that's pretty obvious, but at the same time, they're kind of taking it beat by beat. But we know next week's spoilers for NXT, so if you don't want to know what it is, skip to the end of this episode, but here are the spoilers of what happens over the course of the next episode on next Tuesday. Trick Williams was cutting a promo. He gets interrupted by Metaphor, then Gallus, and then Javon Evans comes out, and they have a whole thing. Seems like the bad guys come out on top of that. For some reason, Dante Chen beats Alexis King with Robert Stone bringing out Dante Chen. That seems very confusing to me, and I don't know where they're going here other than, I guess, they're continuing the Alexis King and Robert Stone feud without Von Wagner in the mix. And Dante Chen is their answer. Sure. I don't know. Wendy Chu seems to be waking up from her alarm clock. So maybe we get something next week for that. Jada Parker beats Brinley Reese. Fallon Henley beats Thea Hale. They are joined by Lash Legend, who beat Ivy Nile, and by Sol Ruka, who beat Izzy Deem. So we know four of the six women that are going to be competing for the NXT Women's North American Championship. And as far as I'm aware, they still haven't said what the match dynamics are for the other four women that are going to be getting those final two spots. I know it's Renson, Claire, Tatum Paxley, Kehlani Jordan, and actually I'm blanking on who the other one is. Meechan, I think. And they haven't quite said, if it's going to be like Meechan versus Tatum Paxley and Kehlani Jordan versus Ren or something. But two of those four are going to figure out the rest of this. So I'm a little bit surprised that Thea Hale is not involved. Would have thought that she would have been paired up with somebody else. But the Joe Coffey replacement for Ivar, this is a little bit confusing for me too. So they set up this Ivar, Josh Briggs, and Wesley triple threat to determine who fights Obafemi at NXT Battleground. Ivar gets replaced with Joe Coffey. And according to the spoilers, Wesley and Joe Coffey win this match to set up a triple threat match. So Josh Briggs is not involved. Ivar is replaced by Joe Coffey, and Joe Coffey and Wesley are fighting Obafemi. Sounds weird. I don't know why they didn't just go Wesley. But Axiom and Nathan Fraser retain the NXT tag titles over the D'Angelo family. The No Quarter Catch crew get involved. The OC gets involved. And Carmen Petrovic and Natalya beat Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice, which leads to Lola Vice turning on Shayna Baszler, which then leads to an announcement that Shayna and Lola are going to have an NXT Underground match at Battleground. That seems to be the setup for next week. So Battleground is shaping up to be, we have four of the six women for the NXT Women's North American Championship ladder match. We've got Lola Vice against Shayna Baszler in an NXT Underground match. We've got maybe some kind of a multi-team setup for the NXT tag titles. We've got a triple threat with Joe Coffey, Wesley, and Obafemi for the North American title. And I would assume that they continue to tell the story of Noam Dar and Trick Williams, and that's the go-to for that. As far as I've seen, nothing saying what's happening with Roxanne Perez, which is interesting as well. Wonder where they're going to go on that front. Any of this stand out as a noteworthy, interesting thing that might get you intrigued, or is it pretty much the same run-of-the-mill stuff that's like, yeah, you're worth skipping that?
Honestly, I just listen to you talk, and that's the only thing I ever know about NXT. So.
That's all you need to know, everybody. That's why you need to keep checking out smartguymoment.com. You know, that's one of the ones that I pay some of the most attention to every week because it's just haphazard and absolutely crazy. So
I did see that Ivar tweeted in the last like half an hour or so.
What did he tweet?
He basically said that there's been a bit of like misinformation going around. So he basically just subbed out basically saying, yes, I'm injured. Yes, it's very serious. But no, I haven't decided. I haven't had surgery yet and I haven't decided what I'm going to do about that just yet.
Hmm. Oh, if he has surgery, hopefully it goes well. If he doesn't, hopefully whatever alternative he does ends up working instead. You know, Ivar has been doing some really great stuff in a singles capacity, and Eric's still on the shelf for his injuries, but like to see the Viking Raiders come back healthy and happy very soon. And yeah, I'm more of a fan of seeing Ivar in this match than Joe Coffey, to be honest, but take what we can get when we'll get it. And we wish him the very best. I'm not seeing any other kind of stories for us to talk about for this week. So if anybody else has any other ideas in mind of hot tags, drop them in the comments below. We'll try to respond to it that front, or we'll continue on, roll them into next week, which is going to be a crazy week. I don't know how it's going to play out. To specify what I had mentioned earlier in this, I'm not going to get too deep into some of the elements of this, everybody, but I do want to preface this next week and so with a little bit of a warning that things may not be the way that they should be. We do have the King and Queen of the Ring pay-per-view coming up on next Saturday. We do have AEW Double or Nothing coming up on next Sunday. We do have a round of the hot tags that we would be normally getting into. I have a very packed schedule for this next week of just personal and work-related things. One of them being, I do not know if I'm going to need to get one, if not all four, of my wisdom teeth taken out. And I have done many podcasts in the past where I have, you know, done an episode while I had strep throat. It was even a solo edition when I did that. That was fun. I do every episode that I can, even if I'm sick and stuff, but I do not know for sure what's going to end up happening with that. So there may be some instances going forward where we might not be able to do post shows. Might be the case with prediction stuff or hot tags. Maybe all of it, maybe none of it, maybe all of it goes through perfectly fine, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. I will try to put stuff out there on like on Twitter or Discord or the Mega Maniacs Facebook group if I know of anything ahead of time. But if you don't hear any kind of action from us in one way or another, it's probably because of something like that. I might, depending on if that ends up happening in a different way, I might even try to do a podcast with some kind of recovery thing like that. It might be kind of funny, to be perfectly honest, to have like a video of me with my fucking, you know, face all taped up or something. I don't know. But there is a chance that I might just be way too fucking, you know, unable to do it or something. I'm not going to volunteer Rob and Callum to do things on their own. If they volunteer to do anything, I, of course, would be greatly appreciated, but I do not want to put that on them. So if anybody is interested in following what we've got going on with any kind of stuff like that, outside of just you find out when you find out or something, best way for you to stay up to date is to check out all the usual social media stuff that I mentioned, you know, Discord, Facebook, Twitter, and the website. Might post something up on the website too. Kind of crazy. I'm kind of going insane lately, and I hope that we're around doing everything the way that we should be doing and having a lot of fun and all. But next thing you are going to be hearing from us is probably going to be the Darkcast. Might be some of the other stuff. You got to stay tuned. Make sure that you're following all of us on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you're following SmartGout Moment on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure that you are hitting up all the SmartGout stuff that I mentioned at the beginning of this. Show your support. Helps out a lot. Also, make sure that you are going to the link tree over on amangotree.com. Follow all those different accounts you see on there. Show your support for everything under amangotree. And make sure you're following not just my own stuff, but also Callum's.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Wigmeister14. You can check out the power rankings over on SmartComMoment.com every single Saturday to see how I'm ranking the WWE superstars based on their previous week's performances. And while you're there, you can also check out the Fantasy League, also at WWEFantasyLeague.com, to see who's been picking up points, who is doing well, who's not doing not so well. But it's only very early days. We're only entering our second week in. There's still a very long road to go. But so you've made the best start by heading on over to WWEFantasyLeague.com or finding it through Smart Cam Moment to check out the table.
I am the table. Who's winning right now?
Rob.
Really? And yeah. It's not even on the podcast to gloat about it. Uh-huh. yeah, so that's it for episode 650 of the Hot Tags, everybody. We, of course, will be seeing you when we see you. In the meantime, check out everything else that's happening. Hopefully you enjoy SmackDown tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, but adios for now. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we are being counted out.